Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
All right, you ready for the Word of God today? Come on, go ahead, grab your copy of God's Word and say this with me. Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word, I'll receive God's Word, and I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look really good in warm weather clothes. Just go ahead and let them know. They look really, really good. They've been waiting all year to get out that warm weather clothing. Now listen, as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and again, welcome to those who are joining with us online. It's such a joy to be able to partner with you and be able to speak the Word of God to enlighten and encourage you from around the world. So grateful that you chose to worship God with us here today. But if you're in this area, we'd love for you to be a part of our services right here. There's nothing like being in the house of God. And so listen, as we go into this message in preparation for being spirit empowered and thinking about being empowered. What are the things that we do to kind of be empowered or feel empowered? Well, there was a story that I heard one time about a little boy, and he was watching his mom at night putting cold cream on her face, putting this mask on her face. And at first it was a little scary, but he said, Mommy, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm just trying to make my face look beautiful. Well, just a few minutes later, he came back in the room. She was taking the cream off. Said, Mommy, what's wrong? Did you give up? You know, we want to be empowered. Being spirit empowered, what does that mean? Let me go back to the New Testament church when it was first released into our world by the Holy Spirit's power. One of the things that I can tell you very strategically that God did is through Jesus Christ, he gave instruction to those early New Testament believers, those disciples, and he said, as he was ascending, he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Spirit's empowerment, because you won't be able to do this alone. In your natural human ability, you will not be able to do this by yourself. But with my Spirit, you can do all things. It's not by might, it's not by power, it will be by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so with that in mind, they went into that upper room, and as I talked about last week, they waited until the power of God came down. And it wasn't to just give them new tongues, supernatural tongues, but the Bible said that they spoke boldly. They began to witness it. They were empowered to do what they were called and put on a mission to do. And can I just remind you, friends, that each and every one of you that's here today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know you're also on assignment. If you are a Christ follower, that means the Great Commission still applies to you. And if the New Testament believers, those early New Testament disciples, needed the power of the Holy Spirit after having walked with Jesus for 3.5 years in person, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, connecting with the Savior while he was here on this earth, and they still needed the power of the Holy Spirit to do the job. How many know we still need the power to do the job? We're not finished yet. The New Testament was marked by the supernatural. And today in our society, sometimes in churches, we shy away from the idea of the supernatural. But the fact is, this new generation or this next generation coming up, they are absolutely enamored with the supernatural. As a matter of fact, they might not show up to a church because they believe in your doctrine or your theology, but they will come to see a miracle. And it's no different from what was happening in Jesus' day. Jesus, when he went from town to town, place to place, the reason he was getting so much notoriety was not simply because he had great Twitter followers and great Instagram accounts and retweets. He had the miraculous signs. And the Bible says in those New Testament believers, and signs and wonders accompanied them that believed. But sometimes we think about it in the natural. We get a little nervous or concerned. What if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? Well, what if you pray for somebody and they do? Why not take the risk and put that risk on God? Not on yourself. It's not your hands. It's not your words that make it so. It's by the divine power of the Holy Spirit that brings it into action. And it's your faith that empowers that thing, that makes it come alive. The same words that Jesus spoke while he was on this earth and were written down and captured in the red letters are just as powerful in our mouth as we use the Spirit of God to release it at the right time, in the right way, in the right spirit with the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And so the idea of the natural being invaded by the supernatural, I talked about this last week. I'll quickly touch on it for those who were not here last week, that I love candy. Many of you know that. I'm still 5 years old when it comes to candy. And so I've got a little Tootsie Roll here, and the Tootsie Roll is really a great, great invention. They even have now flavored ones. I love those. But I can just say this, how stupid would it be of me to pop this thing in my mouth without first unwrapping it? Right? The Food Network did this thing over 300 episodes called Unwrapped, and it was all about candies and, you know, the billion-dollar industry that the candy industry is making around the world, all the different pieces of candy, the way they're made and all that. It was an awesome show. But if you just took especially a Hershey's Kiss and didn't unwrap that tin foil and just shoved it in your mouth, if you have fillings, you're going to have a holy shock right there. I'm just telling you. It's not going to be what you thought it was going to be. You have to unwrap that piece of candy in order to enjoy it. Can I just tell you, the Bible talks about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. You got to first unwrap the gift before you use the gift. And some of us, the hardest thing is to know, well, what is my gift? And I'm glad to tell you that we've launched the Grow Track in a way to help you understand your spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, you can go online and take spiritualgiftstest.com, and you can take that test. It talks about 20 facets of the gifts, and we talked a little bit about that last week. We also talked about the gifts and the fruit. The gifts of the Spirit that are outlined, I just mentioned about 26 of them that we'll focus in on in this series in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But for them is to also function with the fruit of the Spirit. I talk about it like this, that my wife and I have three children, and they would be considered the fruit of a connection to the Holy Spirit, a relationship, an intimate connection where you say, God, I'm yours. Invade me, have your way in me. And function, I don't know, when the pastor gets up and has a word of knowledge or exhortation or the gift of healing, when the elders lay hands on the sick and anoint them with oil, but that's not the only way the gifts are distributed. Can I tell you, the gifts are not just relegated to a time period in the service where after the third song, we wait 30 seconds to see if the pastor has a word or somebody in the congregation has a tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's not the only place or only way that God distributes the gifts. It's so much better than that. Do you know that you can use it in your daily life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? You can wake up tomorrow and say, God, use me in the gifts. God, I want to use those gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about eagerly desiring those gifts. As a matter of fact, here's that distinction between the love or the fruit and the gifts. I would say it like this. The gifts come upon us. How do you receive a gift? Just put out your hands, right? You can't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You just get it because someone gave it. Are you following? It's like a tree that around Christmas time, you bring in those freshly cut trees, you know, whatever type of tree, you know, you happen to use. And you can put a little bulb on there, right, that makes it look pretty, all the different ornaments. You can take it off and put it on very quickly, very rapidly. It doesn't take much time. And immediately it looks beautiful. That's like the gifts. Immediately they're placed there. Immediately, it's beautiful and brilliant and amazing when the gifts are functioning in operation and in order, both inside and outside of the church. By the way, I say inside and outside of the church, you are the church. It's not this building. You are the church. That means everywhere you go, the Spirit goes with you. God's Holy Spirit goes with you. But those fruit that we talk about, that's more like a tree that has an apple on it. The root system has to go deep, and it takes watering, and it takes sunlight, and it takes time, and it takes maturity for fruit to come out on that tree. That means you can function in the gifts and not have maturity, because it's brilliant and for a moment. But God says he wants to develop in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That doesn't just come by our natural inclination. It comes by the Spirit of God and his presence and his power in our lives. Listen, friends, none of those gifts are given by natural talent, by education, by ability. They're not rewards for achievements. Like, look, ooh, this person's super spiritual. God loves them most. He's going to give them a supernatural gift. Here's a couple of scriptures to just help you define this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 talks about the spiritual gifts and says, but if you have not love, it's worthless. It's like a gong or a clanging cymbal. You're an annoyance. Oh, I didn't get enough amens on that one. Look, man, some people, they operate in the spiritual gifts, and they think they're all that in a bag of chips all of a sudden. And listen, that's nice that you functioned in the gift, but I think it's Numbers 22, you know, when you talk about Balaam's donkey, the donkey was used supernaturally. He was a donkey before he had the word, and he was a donkey after he used the word. I'm just saying, people get derailed by this because they hear somebody prophesy or speak in tongues with an interpretation or a gift, operate a gift of healing or whatever. And spiritually immature Christians look at somebody else that operates in the gift and thinks they're super spiritual and then sees that their character doesn't line up with the gift. Are you following this? That's why we need the fruit. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, it says, pursue love. Look at, yet desire earnestly the spiritual gift. So it's not just all we need is love. We need more than that. We need the gifts too. We need them both. All right. I would say it like this. The gifts are given and the fruit is cultivated. Gifts come upon us. The fruit is inside of us. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go through this verses 1 through 7. I love this passage of scripture. So let me take some time to unpack it, if you don't mind, because I absolutely love this passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorites. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. In other words, I don't want you to be ignorant or have a misunderstanding about it. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but listen, in all of them, and in just a few people, it's the same God. No, it says in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, listen, not for your personal gain, not for you to look super spiritual, not that you can tout all the gifts that you've got. It is used and given for the common good. All right, let's tackle each one of these individually. Let's start the very first one about the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want you to be uninformed. That means it's possible to possess the gift and still be ignorant about it or still misunderstand it. Meaning you don't know how to use the gift or you don't have full understanding about the gift. So let's just start with this. When you use a spiritual gift, it is not meant to exalt you. It's meant to exalt Christ. If ever it's exalting you, you did it wrong. You used it wrong. There's a temptation for us not to say it out loud, but to maybe even think it, that when God uses us, that, ooh, look at how spiritual we are. God loves me more. And that's not the case. The fact is, God gives us this. Matter of fact, in Paul says it like this later on, and we'll talk about this maybe next week or the week following, Lord willing. But it says, test the Spirit. The ultimate test that the gifts are functioning properly is when Jesus is exalted, and it doesn't divide the church. It unifies the church in love and in unity. Now let's go to verse 4. There are different kinds. Everybody say different kinds. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Right? Everybody in this room will have a spiritual gift, and each one will be distinct and unique. Just like the uniqueness of your own fingerprints, that God would take the time to carve grooves into your fingers for the purpose of reminding you how special, unique, and valued you are. The fact is, there's not one other human being that has ever existed or will ever exist that has your unique fingerprints. And I believe it's because God not only touched his hand to yours and says, this is your unique handprint, but I believe it talks about specifically laying hands on people. And it doesn't necessarily mean just putting your hand on somebody with, you know, anointing oil. It could be a handshake. Or maybe it'd be better stated, what you put your hand to will prosper with God's help. Whatever you put your hand to, that it will prosper. But all the gifts need to function together in unity. Sometimes we elevate one over the other. We say, well, you know, if you have a singing gift or you're a musician, you're on stage, we elevate the gift and or prophecy or something like that. We elevate those gifts. And then we kind of give secondary thought to the serving gift, serving in the nursery or serving in kids ministry or something like that. Somehow we elevate one and degrade the other. Can I just remind you? I told a lady that served in our nursery consistently, she has no children in the nursery or grandchildren in the nursery. She serves there because of you. And there was a lady that came to the church recently that had a child here, and but the lady happened to be a single mom and did not get much time away or apart from her young child. And coming into the sanctuary with a child, if the child is, you know, cranky or disruptive, then that makes it difficult. And that's why we have rooms with the video feed that goes back there so you can hear the message while you're, if you're a nursing mom or one of the young moms here and you maybe feel like you really want to keep your child close, but you still want the word. But to drop off your child, especially those of you parents, first-time parents, that's scary. Handing your precious, valuable DNA in this little body over while they're crying, screaming your name, mommy, mommy, or daddy, daddy, and then walking away as you hear them crying. No, right? But it's because of the workers here in this church that give up Sundays. I told this lady, I told this worker, rather, that you preached just as good a message as I did today. She's a preacher. Now, she may have been rocking that child and singing to that child and holding that child and then telling about the love of Jesus, but I can just tell you, she was preaching that message just as good because she was allowing a mom or a dad to come in and hear the gospel message clearly. Let's elevate the gifts because it's Jesus' gifts in us, and let's use the gifts effectively. They're not put in us to sit on it. They're meant to be used. What good is a gift if you don't use it? Right? God gives each one of us these unique and special gifts to function together in unity. So I would say it like this. These verses, verse 4 I just read, let's read verses 5 and 6. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in them, in all of them, and in everyone, it's the same God at work in each one of you. I would say all three of those verses, when it says different kinds, different kinds, different kinds, that word is summed up in one word, variety. God loves variety. If you have notes, take that down, write that down. God loves variety. How many understand? God loves variety. In nature, he proved it. In different races, he proved it. right? And we can see it also in the gifts as they function effectively. I talked last week about Romans chapter 12 and some of the gifts listed there. Let me just go through how it might operate, though, just a few of those gifts in Romans 12. Let me show you how that might operate in one of your life groups. One of my favorite things is small groups around here. And many of you are connected to them. If you're not, you need to be. Just coming to church and having this time is great. But having relationship, it means everything. And so house to house and place to place, connecting, laughing, praying together. But I love it when life groups reach out to a member who's maybe sick or in the hospital. And so we've heard that now and again, how many people from their life group have stopped by when somebody goes into the hospital. But this might be how it plays out with different gifts, how we're wired and shaped uniquely. It might play out like this in a life group meeting. You discover that one of your members in the group is sick or hospitalized, and the guy with mercy, that mercy gift, says, let's go visit him. And then the servant gift in somebody else says, well, let's bake him some cookies too. Right? And then Mr. Administration Gift says, okay, now what day is everybody available? Let's write that down. Somebody take notes. Let's call the church. Maybe we need to get the van so we can bring everybody together. Oh, no, we can carpool. Oh, let's write down who can carpool with who. And let's make sure all this takes place in the right way at the right time. Right? Mr. Administration Gift. And then Ms. Teacher Gift says, well, I think I'll take the time to write out some selected verses of scripture on healing, right? And then Mr. Giver Gift says, you know what? We ought to take up an offering, all of us, to defray the costs that they're experiencing during this difficult time, this crisis in the hospital. And then finally, Miss Encouragement Gift says it like this. Well, now listen. We all need to make it a priority that we write out handwritten cards and bring them with us that we can be an encouragement to them. Right? All of those gifts, how many of you know all of them are important? They all make sense, and operating together, it is a beautiful picture of Christ. Same gift may operate in even different ways. Let me say it again. God loves variety. I'll say it like this. I believe that God even loves different denominations as they function together biblically. Each one with a different personality, with a unique style, even with a unique way of doing things. When I go into a Methodist church or a Baptist church, one of my Baptist friends or Methodist friends or Presbyterian friends, when I go into their church, I don't say, well, you know what? You need to move your vision statement, that picture on the wall. You need to move that over here because it's going to look better over here. You know, you need to move these chairs and these couches in a different spot. You need to move your podium in a different place. Are you kidding me? No. Just like I wouldn't walk into any of your houses and tell you, you need to put your furniture this way or that. It's the personality of God through them. I love what the Baptists have done for the body of Christ in discipleship, producing discipleship materials that have gone around the world. I love that. I love how Pentecostals, the unique distinction of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I love even how the Assemblies of God has been the mission sending organization around the world, one of the greatest mission sending organizations around the world. I love charismatics and the liveliness that they have, but I also love the traditional churches and the uniqueness of the reverence of God in that house. I've never forget going to an Episcopal church to do a wedding. And I partnered with the pastor there. And after the ceremony, she gave a word of encouragement. And we walked out. And at the very, very end, I was talking to her. And I said, man, that was a powerful word you gave. And she said, yeah, you know, I really felt the anointing of the Spirit of God on it. And I said, well, all right. That's what I'm talking about. Didn't even think you were like me, but I guess we are. How many of us judge the book by its cover? Listen, that's why we believe in the variety of the different uniqueness of each and every church. That's why we pray over churches, other churches around our city. That's why I love to partner with pastors around this city. I love it. We pray together, talk together, dream together. Why? Because this is our city to win to Jesus. And they're going to be able to win somebody that I can't, and I'm going to be able to win somebody that they can't, but together we're going to win this city. You know, I have three children, Taylor, Griffin, Cameron, each one of them the same genetic DNA from the same mama, the same daddy, and yet each one of them have unique expressions of gifts. And you know what? I don't get on to one of them because they don't have the gift of the other one. When it comes to Taylor, she was into performing arts, big time into drama and all that stuff. And so I would spend time with her, going to those plays, bringing a little, you know, thing of flowers to her after one of her performances or whatever. That was her gift. And we celebrated that gift. But Griffin, on the other hand, completely different. Man, we played sports together and we'd, talk together while we're hunting or we're fishing. That's his gig. I didn't tell Taylor, you need to learn how to hunt and fish, or you're not really my child. I didn't look at Griffin and say, you need to get into drama and performing arts, or you're not really my son. Cameron, I love going to games, watching her cheer. I feel like she's the greatest cheerleader in all the world, not because, she is the best of everyone in every place, that she has every single gift for every cheerleader, but she is the greatest cheerleader because she's mine. And she cheers me on all the time. But I love to go to games to watch her cheer. And yeah, I'm checking out the football game every so often, but I'm watching what she's doing because I'm proud of her. And this last Friday at the district game, she was chosen to be able to pray before the game started. And I was so proud that you prayed over the whole game in the stands. Everybody cheered afterwards. They might have been cheering because God's glorious and eternal, but I was cheering because God's glorious and eternal, but I was proud of you. I'm just saying, I'm proud of you. But I don't tell my son, you better put on that cheerleading uniform, boy. I'll tell you this right now. We celebrate the gifts. We celebrate the variety of the gifts. Why? Because, listen, as long as they love God, they love each other, and they love me, I will celebrate the gifts. And so it is with our God. I love the uniqueness and variety that God brings to each and every one of us. The Greek word there, different, indicates maintaining distinction while dissolving division. It's a unified distinction. In other words, a different position, but the same goal, right? We're all playing for the same team. We got the same goal, but we might function in different positions on the field or on the court. Secondly, God loves diversity. Write that down. God loves diversity. Let's look at the unique categories that Paul uses. There are different kinds of gifts. That's the word where we get charisma or charismatic expression, charisma. That's the endowment of the gifts. There are different kinds of service. That's the Greek word diakonia, or deacon. That's where we get our word deacon, the service in the church. Each one of our deacons, our board members, are serving this house. And that's where we get the word service. There are different kinds of working, energema. This is operation or working. This is where God energizes us to do the work. It would be like this. If a missionary came and spoke and he began to preach about, let's say, where he was, I don't know if he's from someplace in Europe, let's say Germany. And he has a heart for Germany. And while he's preaching, one person in the room feels a calling to go to Germany and be a missionary, or feels a call else in the world. Another person, hearing the same person speak, is having this gift come upon them to give. And they feel called to give. Function in this gift of service where they want to go on a missions project. All of them listening to the same speaker speak, but the Spirit moves on each one uniquely because God loves diversity. I'll just say it one more time. I'll remind you that Dave Reaver is going to be with us, my hero, the first few years of our ministry after Southeastern. He's going to be with us on December 1st. That's going to be our missions emphasis. And I encourage you to be prepared and praying about on December 1st the missions that you will pledge for this coming year, as well as preparing a gift to be able to give toward missions where we can reach around the world. I believe we can do that from right here in Dothan. The third thing is this: God loves unity. Everybody say, God loves unity. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God works in all of them and in all people. Celebrating diversity begins by understanding unity. Unity is not uniformity. We're not asking you to be robots or cookie cutter Christians, right? If everybody was a quarterback, we'd never win the game. Somebody's got to block, right? Somebody's got to go out for the long pass. Each one of us is assigned a task. And unity doesn't even always mean unanimity, meaning we always agree on everything. Listen, my wife, Michelle, and I love that woman with all my heart. Agree on every single thing. Sometimes we agree to disagree, right? If we us would be unnecessary. Selah. Just think about that for a little bit. And we're all, listen, all of us in this room are tied together with the common. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. That means God gave you and is prepared to distribute every single gift that you need to function in operation effectively for his kingdom. If somebody's on the job, they're sick, they're in the cubicle next to you. I'm not talking about making a big spectacle and jumping up on a table and, you know, getting out a super soaker with oil and, you know, splatter them with oil while you pray over them. But, you know, sometimes just coming up to them, hey, man, I'm a Christian, and if you don't mind, I'd love to just pray a short prayer to believe God for your healing. There's other times where God will give you a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Start with, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it's just, hey, man, I just feel an impression in my spirit. I shared with you what I sensed from the Lord, and you had to weigh it as the church to determine if that word. Always weigh it against the Bible, right? Always weigh it against the Bible. But that word, it might just be, I sense an impression in my spirit from God. I cannot tell you how many times the Spirit of God has, and I say fallen, I mean lunch or dinner at a restaurant. It absolutely amazes me. All I'll ask is, hey, we're getting ready to pray over our meal. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And all of a sudden, tears. I can't tell you how many times that just by that one question alone, the server sits down next to us in the booth or in the seat and pulls up a chair and begins to share their life. Friends, that doesn't make me super spiritual. I just want to be discerning. What moment is God calling you to be more sensitive in that you've been insensitive to? Just think about that for a minute. God created each and every one of you in his own likeness, in his image. You have Heavenly Father's DNA. His Christ bloodline is flowing through your veins. You are royal priests. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people that God has called to give praise to him through the gifts in operation to draw people to Jesus. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Here it is, for your own good. No, it's for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, for the common good. That's the Greek word sympheron. Sympheron is this is the word picture, to carry together. To carry it together. We can't do this alone. Michelle and I couldn't do this alone. The pastors on this staff can't do this alone. Our elders and our deacons can't do this alone. Our life group leaders or our leaders in ministry cannot do this alone. It takes every single one of us to function in the gift. And can I tell you this? If you've got a gift, how many of you on Christmas, don't lie, we're in church. On Christmas or on a birthday, you re-gifted a gift. I'm not even going to have you raise your hands. Too many of you are like, no, I gave it to my husband. Anyway, in that way, it might not be wisdom to re-gift a gift, But can I tell you when it is proper to re-gift the gift is when God gives you a gift from the Holy Spirit. Re-gift that thing over and over and over again. I believe that just like a smile is contagious, the gifts of the Spirit can be contagious. That they can operate in this city, on the job, in business decisions. It talks about the discerning of the spirits. I talked about this last week. Some of you are in a crisis and you need biblical answers, not just what Wall Street says. Listen, if all of the pundits and the talking heads could predict exactly what's going to happen in this nation and its economy or on Wall Street, we would never have a crash. How many know God knows things that man does not know? Man, if I'm in a business decision or a business meeting about to make a connection, or if you're in a business meeting and you're having to make a corporate decision about the future of your company, are you kidding me? Take time, take a pause, take 5 minutes, go out to your car or wherever you need to go and ask God and let the Holy Spirit reveal through what even the discerning of spirits. You might be getting ready to align yourself with another business person to be co-owners of something. You need to be able to discern the spirits. Is this dude just a good talker? Is this lady a liar? You may not know just in the natural. You need to understand supernaturally. This can operate in so many areas of your life, in your home, with business, with family, with neighbors, with friends. And I would say it like this. I don't think anybody wants to come to a church where there's power struggles and strife and division and you feel drained. Wouldn't you rather come to a place where you feel encouraged and connected, where you're celebrated with the God-given gifts that you've been given and helping propel you toward the destiny Christ has for you? You want a place where you can make a difference in people's lives. Can I tell you this? When you show up to church, church is not just for you. Show up to church energized and ready to release the gifts. When we tell you, go find 10 people you haven't met yet, greet them, encourage them, I'm being serious about letting the Spirit of God use your smile, your handshake, your high five, your hug to make a difference in somebody's life that comes in discouraged and broken and wore out. I want each and every one of you to be, you've been designed by God. I want you to be who God's called you to be. And I want to celebrate the personality and gift that God's given you. But you need to be strengthened on the journey by God and by others. And when people use their gifts, given by the Holy Spirit, energized by God, the people of God will not only be brought together, but ultimately the purposes of God will be fulfilled. Pastor Adam, if you'd come as we close out. Let me ask you a couple questions. What is it that you feel God's smile of approval on when you step out in the gift that you do effectively? Now, I'm not talking about natural gifts. Those are great. If you have, let's say, a speaking ability and you have give a great speech at your job or wherever, that's cool. But I'm talking about when you feel the anointing of God, that supernatural touch from God that you go, man, I know that wasn't me. Do you know how many times I've talked to doctors before or after surgical procedures? And they've told me that they sensed the supernatural of God, that they worked beyond their own capabilities and study. It's amazing. But that's God. But here's what happens sometimes in the church. Sometimes what happens is we neglect the gift. Friends, nobody has your gift like you have it. No one will function in it like you because nobody has your personality, your gift set, your DNA, your fingerprints, your voice print. You've got it. That's you. I can do things you can't. You can do things I can't. Together, we make a great team. But if one doesn't do their part, the whole thing gets messed up. If you went to a doctor and they told you that a part of your body wasn't working, it wasn't functioning properly, what would they say? They call that sickness. Your body is sick. I don't want this body to be sick. But it is when we don't all function in the gifts. The gifts of service, where we serve one another gratefully, generously, where we give to one another selflessly, where we function effectively is when we lift up the name of Jesus while doing the work of the ministry. That's not just natural, like you're just a good encourager. I'm talking about when the Spirit of God comes on your natural gift and makes it supernatural. I can tell you, even if you aren't naturally an encourager, maybe you're more of a pessimist than an optimist, God can take even your pessimism and flip it in that moment spiritually, supernaturally. To be able to, when you have that sense of the impression of God, that you walk up to somebody, man, I just sense this from the Lord. I don't want to be weird. I'm not trying to be kooky or strange. Here's what happens. This sumpharon, that idea of for the good of all people, for God distributes those gifts for all, that Greek word sumpharon, each of us carrying the weight. You know what it's like? If I were to try to bring you to the gym and put loads of weight on a barbell that you knew you could not lift, and you're there on the bench and you're pushing with all your might, and maybe, just maybe, you get one rep and you can feel it coming back down, everybody in this room would need what they call a spotter. Somebody that stands behind them and either does one of two things, maybe both, likely both. Encourages you, say, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And then when they see that they're at that muscle failure, what do? They put their hands under the bar and they help them. Friends, we need to learn that if you're not doing your part, someone else, the rest of the body has to compensate. If you had a broken leg, right, we're not going to require you to run a marathon. If you walk into this place and you are completely broken and devastated, don't serve, sit and soak till you're healed. But deal with the wound and let us help you deal with that wound biblically or with counsel. But friends, if you got two good legs and you don't do anything, I think about it like this, and I know people get a little bit weirded out when people, especially ministers, talk about money or giving. But since Jesus talked more about giving than he did about just about any other subject, I feel qualified to at least mention it, that there are some people in the church that carry the weight of this ministry financially. And no, we're not going to take up another offering. Just chill. I just love saying that. Some people are carrying the weight, and some are giving while others are just getting. You're receiving ministry. You're receiving, receiving, receiving. Before too long, what is true maturity? It's when our kids can learn to do things for themselves. They learn to carry the weight in the household. They take out the trash, right? They clean up their rooms. You know your kid is really mature, and man, it's like all of heaven comes down when you find out your kid, without even asking, cleans up their room. Are you kidding me? That's maturity. Or they serve the household in some way. They take out the trash without asking. Come on, somebody. That's spiritual right there. So it is in the body of Christ. Serving in every area of ministry. I believe that membership and serving go hand in hand. You can't have membership without serving. They're synonymous. Giving, serving, loving, doing the work of the ministry. Friends, this church will only be as strong as its weakest link, meaning not you are a bad person, horrible person. No. I already told you, if you came in here broken and wounded and abused and struggling, listen, you need help. But those of us that are strong, can we just help them? If you got two working legs, let's help them. Some of you have a gift that's not so visible. But how many of you know the heart is not visible, but when it stops beating, we stop living? Some of you represent the heart of this house, and I thank God for each and every one of you. But let's do this thing together. Let's win our world together. Let's reach more together. Let's accelerate the vision of God together. Let's reach more people than we ever dreamed of reaching. And let's reach the highest potential we can in God. I believe God has a destiny in you. God has significant value that He's placed in you. But with great power comes great responsibility, right? He's given you all the gifts that you need. You don't lack anything, right? Look at that verse. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You won't lack even one of them if we'll do this thing together. Would you bow your heads with me for right now and just close your eyes and let God challenge your heart? Lord Jesus, we don't always know how to function, but with your Spirit, we know we can do all things. Now, God, I pray across this room, first and foremost, that we would give our lives to you. Because, Lord, if you're not God of every area in our life, then we really haven't turned it over. We haven't made you Lord. But today we want to turn over every single area of our lives. And you didn't give us finances just for our pleasure. You gave it to take care of the needs. And you gave it to us as a reminder that you're in control of everything we own. And you gave it to us to help others around the world. And Lord, you didn't give us gifts just to sit on them. You gave us gifts to use. Now, God, I pray every single person in this house would be spiritually mature. I speak spiritual maturity over this house, that each one would use the gifts God has given them. That we would love and give and serve. Of our time, talent, and treasure, we would give freely. Why? Because, God, you gave us breath in our lungs. You gave us strength in our body. You gave us resources. You gave us everything we have. Now, if you just bow your heads, keep your heads bowed for just another moment, there may be some in this room, you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to make him Lord of every area. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand in just a moment, acknowledging, Mark, that's me. I need Jesus to be Lord of everything. That might be a rededication as a Christian. You might be saying, Mark, there's areas that I've not served in or not given or places that I've not let Jesus truly be Lord. Others of you, it might be a first-time decision. Maybe there's sin that's separating you from God. And today you say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to make him Lord. I need him to forgive me of my sins and give me a fresh start. Whatever area or category you fall into today, if that's you, I want you to slip up your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, slip it up all over this place. Yes, God bless you. Yes, over here. God bless you. Yes. Yes, God bless you. In the balcony. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? That's you today. Yeah. You can put your hands down. There's others that you say, Mark, I'm a Christian. I love God, but I've not been really serving, using the gift to its fullest potential. And you know what that feels like. The smile of heaven of approval on what you're doing for him. That's why we're on this earth, my friend. The reward system of heaven is based on the things we do on this earth. Now, salvation is a free gift, but the Bible talks about that he is a rewarder. He's a rewarder of a lot of things that the Bible talks about. But if you'd say as a believer, as a Christian, maybe a 40 or 50 year member of this church, but you'd say, Mark, I need to get back to functioning in the gifts more effectively. If that's you, would you slip up your hand all over this place? Yeah, God bless you. Yes, yes, God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. Many hands that went up. What I'd like to do is lead you in this prayer. You can put your hands down, but I'm going to invite those in this room and those that are joining with us online. I'm going to ask you to pray this simple prayer right now. I want to lead you in this. And every one of you, would you repeat this out loud, but especially you who lifted your hand. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life, every part of me. I want to receive your gift, the gift of love for me. Forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe you died and rose again for me. And I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. I choose to trust you with every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you just celebrate those who just made a decision? Come on, man, let's celebrate them. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when we make commitments and decisions for Christ. Listen, friend, if you made that commitment today, I want to encourage you. We want to give you a free gift today. They're going to put this number up on the screen, but it's this booklet, a free booklet called One to One. And you can text the word D1GROW to 84576. If you just accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to know more about your walk with Christ, you need to text D1GROW. They're going to keep this up there for a while, to this number, 84576. What that'll do is it'll give you a text. It'll give you two distinct texts. It doesn't put you on a, you know, consistent list. It'll give you two distinct texts back. The first one will give you a free booklet called One to One. You can either download it on Android or Apple phones as a free download. And the other text is going to show you our Grow Track and ways you can know or know more about how to connect to the spiritual gifts God has put inside of you. So I want to encourage you with that, and we'll leave that up there for the rest of our time. Don't forget Operation Christmas Child on the way out and Feed Dothan, both of those very strategic outreaches here at this church. Tonight, we'll come back and talk about how to make the most of the rest of your life. We're going to go through the Alpha Course. It'll be a one-hour service. Come back from 6 to 7. Be a part of what God's doing here. And on Wednesday nights, it's family nights. And we encourage you, we got something for the whole family on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Are you ready to receive a blessing as we go today? Can you put your hands out like you're ready to receive a gift from the Lord today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you know that strategic gift that God's given you, placed in you, and may you use it for his kingdom's glory. I bless you to be a blessing to this city, to this region, to this world, to your family and friends, to your coworkers, neighbors. I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. And be fruitful in all that you put your hands to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Did you get anything out of today? I pray you did. God bless you. Make sure to greet people around you before you leave. These altars are open for you. And at the end of service, I'll be out in the foyer with our pastors ready to greet our first-time guests and give you a gift for today. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled day.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with us at dothan1st.org or follow us on social media at dothan1st. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we would love to have you join us this Sunday at 10 a.m.